employed alcoholic. Sobriety dates 4/1/22. This group's my home group, and I have a sponsor, and I sponsor others. Blair, congratulations, 1 year. It's awesome. Rachel, thanks for sharing. So grateful I get to share the podium with you two tonight. Okay, so last 12 months have been hell of a ride. Got myself jammed up a few different times. Thought about drinking often. And what I found out is that you can get fired from a job. First time ever, too, in sobriety that ever happened to me. You can survive a dysfunctional relationship. You can get hospitalized for 4 days and be bedridden for 2 weeks and not have to take a drink. And, wow. You know, and I think what really kept me going was sponsorship. And, you know, I think all those events brought me closer to my sponsor and being actively sponsored and sponsoring others. And through that, I was able to, like, tap into this power greater than myself and strengthen my relationship with my higher power. And, you know, I'm really grateful for that. And tonight, I've asked Isaac to speak for me. And I have no idea if he even knows how much he's helped me this past year. I heard him share in a meeting one time, probably a couple years ago, and he said, when life is good, you do AA. And when life shows up, you do AA. And that was very simple, right? But that's what was going through my head when all these life crises were going on in my life. And I'll say this about Isaac, he's a good AA. He doesn't talk the talk. I see him actively sponsoring people, doing service in his home group. And one thing that really stands out is his personal relationships that he has with each and every one of you. Isaac's a guy that keeps the door wide open for people to come through the door to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I want to be just like that. So with that, help me welcome Isaac to the podium.
Yeah, come fix this. I'm much shorter. Thank you. All right, I'm Isaac, I'm an alcoholic. I don't remember saying that to the Lord at all. So, so I was thinking about things to say about Lloyd. And one thing I can tell you is you can get fired from many jobs. So I've known a couple different Lloyds, right? Two very different Lloyds. And so, Lloyd's not in AA, right? I've met that Lloyd twice, right? And I think both times it was just a bad day for him. Yeah. And, I just remember one time, so going back to the jobs thing, I lost a bunch of jobs and ended up as a busboy, right? And so I'm working as a busboy at this bar. And Lloyd comes in, and he's there, and I don't even know if he recognizes me, but I recognize him, and I go up, and I say, hey, Lloyd, how are you doing, you know, and he's just so sad, right, he just looks so sad, right, this is like a fancy, nice bar that people are, like, happy to be at, he's not happy to be there, man, and, right, and it was just a sad day, but, you know, I also know Lloyd in AA, right, and I know two of those, too, and both of them are the same, right, both times I've seen Lloyd in AA. Right, he describes me in AA, and I try to be like Lloyd, right? I wish I tried harder to be like Lloyd than I do, but, right, I mean, this guy, he's just, like, running around with new guys all the time, right? Like, constantly, right? If when somebody asks me, like, oh, you know, what meeting should I go to? And I'm like, call Lloyd. Find out where Lloyd's going. He'll tell you where to go, you know? He's the guy that I send guys to. Right, he's the guy. I got a guy in Miami, right? I got a guy in DC, I got guys all over the place. Lloyd's the guy in Tampa that I send people to. So my sobriety date is September 13, 2015. I have a sponsor, I sponsor others. This is my home group. My story is not as exciting as Lloyd's, right? There is no day that I drank and caught a bunch of fish, right? There's, you know, there's no sick, awesome apartment in Brooklyn that I never leave, right? There's nothing like that. And then there's no bicycle rides on windy days, right? That's just not in my story. So most of my story is honestly just sad and then sadder and then sadder. Even more sadder, but that was for everybody else looking from the outside, right? For me, first time I drank, right, I was real happy, right? That's what alcohol did for me, man. It made me happy. And at the time, right, I was 12. I didn't really have a lot to be happy about, right? My dad was, like, dying of brain cancer, right? My mom was a mess, and, you know, I, like, was not really going to school for the most part. And but I'll tell you what, man, me and Brian Cohn, he came over, and I stole a bottle of tequila from my mom. It was like a pyramid bottle. I think it's called a 1000 tequila. And we started taking shots, right? Shot for shot. He was a nerd, so he took like two, you know? And I kept drinking, right? I kept taking shots. And I don't know what it was, but I just remember all of a sudden, like, I was just happy. Like, all of that bad stuff was still going on. It didn't make any of it okay for me. I was just happy then, right? Alcohol was liquid happiness, right? And that was my experience. Frankly, right, like, until the day I got sober, alcohol would make me happy. If I drank enough of it, right, towards the end, I drank a lot. But it would make me happy, you know? And so I would do everything I could to drink it. And so, but real quickly, right, like, you know, so I was 12, I started drinking, I started, like, coming to school drunk, and I'd been in, like, the nerd classes my whole life, and so all of my friends were the nerds, right, and so I had no friends immediately, right, like, they were trying to go to school and, you know, get good grades, and I didn't do any, wanted nothing to do with any of that, so I had no friends, right, and so from that point on, and pretty much until I got sober, I was just a loser, right, the whole time. Right. At first, it was like cool. It was funny. You know, I was a kid that showed up drunk, and high on his dog's painkillers and shit. But then, you know, then I got to high school and like, right, I was a kid that showed up in the same hoodie four times a week. I was always a mess, you know, and it just wasn't cool. It wasn't a good look. But, you know, I didn't care. Right. Alcohol was still doing the same thing. Right. Alcohol was making me happy, whether I was by myself, I was with a group of people, you know, it didn't matter. Alcohol worked for me. And so I kept drinking, right? And it was weird, man. I remember, right, like I was drinking in ways that was not normal for a kid to drink. You know, I remember one time I paid like $50 for like 20 skunked beers that this high school senior gave me from a party. He had the night before that I wasn't invited to, right? I had nothing to do with the party, but he sold me these skunked beers in a garbage bag. And I kept them under my bed, right, in a box. And I would drink, like, you know, on Tuesday, I would have, you know, five or six just to get a buzz. Because, like, that was, you know, that's what I wanted to do more than anything else. I didn't really necessarily, I mean, I wanted to go to the party. It would have been cool. But mostly I just wanted to get drunk. And, yeah, and so... So I got kicked out of two different high schools, right? I got kicked out of the first one, got sent to the second one. The second one was much smaller, so I got kicked out much faster. And my mom didn't know what to do with me, so, you know, I went to the woods, the bad kid woods, and was there for like 3 months, hiked around, slept on the floor of the woods, and to the ground in the snow, it was snowing. And right, that isn't what got me sober, but it is. So there was this lady there, she was my therapist, and she was a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And so the big book kind of talks about how, like, we don't diagnose anybody. She diagnosed me, right? She told me, you're an alcoholic, and if you don't go to AA, you'll drink again. And I didn't, you know, listen, really. And so I went to Utah after that for, like, another program. It was kind of like a halfway house, but there was, like, goals to achieve and stuff. It was weird. But I was there, and I stayed sober for, like, 6 months. And I went to a few AA meetings. Right, I had gone to my first AA meeting and rehab when I was 16, so like I knew about AA, and I went to a few AA meetings out there, and you know, I got a sponsor. I never called them or did anything, and so obviously I didn't stay sober. Right, 6 months, and then like I honestly think I took like a couch pill from somebody I met, and right, but then I started drinking. Right, right after that, and still, man, right, alcohol did the same thing, right, alcohol made me happy, and, but what would happen, and this happened, honestly, even when I was very young, as a kid, and I started drinking, it's like, it would be good, and then it would get not good, and then I would have, like, kind of like a mental breakdown, and be like, I can't do this anymore, and I would tell a bunch of people, and then, you know, like, I'd tell my mom, and tell her where I was hiding everything, and then she kept finding everything later on, and that wasn't cool, you know, and, but I would have these, like, urges to cease forever, right? The Big Book talks about that, urge to cease forever, and it didn't last very long, and the opportunity wasn't there, right? Rachel, thanks for speaking, you talked about that, right, when desperation and opportunity meet, and, like, desperation was there, but opportunity wasn't, and then opportunity was there, but I was not desperate enough, and that would happen many times, and so I was in Utah, went to a few meetings, got drunk again, I would have the same thing happen, right, it was good, then it was bad, and then I would tell somebody, and then it would drink again, and then it was good, and then it was bad, but what I can tell you is the people in AA there, though, they were really happy, right, they were like the people in this room, right, before the meeting. They were smiling, they were happy, they were laughing, they were talking, or they were getting coffee, you know, and hanging out. And then, you know, the meeting started, and then afterward, they were doing the same thing, right? They were going to eat. They were just happy to be here, you know, and I wasn't happy to be there. And the other thing that I know is I would go drink, right, and then I would come back. And then I'd go drink, and I'd come back, and, you know, every time, they were just happy to see me. Right, there was no like, oh, you drank again, right? Like, there was none of that shit. They were just happy to see me, man, right? Asked me how I was doing, you know? And even when I was drinking and I would see them out, right? I would see AAs in the wild. They were just nice, man, right? They asked me how I was doing. I said, oh, I'm doing great. I was lying, but, and they knew that, but they didn't like, you know, press the issue. They were just always nice. And, you know, and I'm not telling you that there's not some dickheads in here, right? Like, there's definitely some dickheads in AA. But for the most part, right, like, we're all pretty nice. And from what I've seen, the ones that are sticking around are the ones that are willing to reach their hand out and help somebody, right? So, but from there, I moved from Utah to Ohio and got drunk there a bunch. And that's all there is to do in Ohio. And so, still, though, alcohol was working, right? It's making me happy. I will tell you this, though, at some point, in Ohio or New Jersey, I'm not sure when it was, when I wasn't drinking, I just wanted to die, right? Like, I hated myself, right? Progressively, that got worse, right? You know, I was sad all the time, right? And, you know, I had to drink to feel okay, right? Like, alcohol became, right? I was no longer relying on, like, human things to feel good, right? Like, friendships, right? Or, you know, relationships with my family, right? Or, you know, any of that stuff. I was relying on alcohol solely to be happy. And so I ended up moving to New Jersey after that. And I lived in Jersey for a couple of years. And it just got worse, right? I was living with my uncle. And so this is one of the reasons I know I'm an alcoholic, right? Because the Big Book, it talks about, like, the different drinkers, right? You got moderate, heavy, and then alcoholic. And so I was in New Jersey, and I was living at my uncle's house, and it's a big, nice house, right? And the only rule is I can't drink or do drugs while I live with him. Not forever, while I live with him, right? And I'm, like, working for him. You know, he got me a job at his company. I'm doing, you know, all I got to do is, like, I don't have to go to college anymore. I could just move up in the company and be fine. Like, everything will work out. And I couldn't do it, man. I tried to stay sober for, like, I did all right for, like, 2 months, you know, and, but it was so miserable, right? There was no happiness anywhere. I tried everything I could to feel happy, and there just was none of that. And I turned 21, and I started going to a bar with a buddy I had made, and I was drinking O'Doul's because that was my uncle was cool with that. My dad had brain cancer and he drank O'Doul's because he's not an alcoholic. And so I was doing that. And then one day, man, the O'Doul's was red and it was a Budweiser. And I don't really know. I don't know how that happened, right? And that's how it was, man. The whole time, right, was I'm not going to drink anymore. Oh, I'm drinking, right? There was no, like, fight in me, you know? But there was no thought of the consequences, right? There was no, like, oh, I don't know if this is a good idea. No, it was just, I'm drinking. And so I drank, right? And things got worse and worse and worse. And my uncle's business partner was this guy. He was sober, member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And he, when I first moved there, he had told me the same thing that my therapist had told me, that I'm an alcoholic. And if I don't go to AA, I'm going to drink again. Honestly, I think at that point I was already drinking again, but I'm not totally sure. And so what ended up happening, though, is like I was a mess, man. I went out for Labor Day weekend with my cousin and all of his friends to Ocean City, Maryland. I don't know if you've been there. My wife is actually from Maryland, and her family goes there, but they all call it Ocean Shitty, Maryland. So... but yeah, anyway, so we went there and like, I just got wasted the whole weekend, right? Like I remember, you know, there was this really cool bar, it's called Secrets. It's like on the ocean, you sit in a raft, they bring you drinks. It's awesome, right? I got kicked out of there, right? I think we got there at like 9:30 in the morning. I got kicked out at like 10:30 in the morning, right? Like immediately, threw up everywhere, you know, I had partied a little too hard the night before, I guess. But, and then the next day, right, like we rented a pontoon boat on my credit card. Probably shouldn't have done that. And, right, I'm like driving the pontoon boat around and it's awesome. And, you know, I'm smoking cigarettes and drinking Bud Lights and driving a boat. And, like, I almost crashed that boat into a dock, right? They don't let me drive anymore after that. You know, we pull back up and to like return the boat, and the guy's like, yeah, you need to get the fuck out of here, right? Like, you guys, we got a lot of calls about you, just leave. And so we did, that was all right. But what happened is I came back, and it just, right, like the desperation was there, right? It had finally really arrived, and it had stuck a little bit, I guess. And I was shaking, and I just couldn't do it anymore, you know? And, that guy, that sober member of AA, I didn't make it to work on Wednesday. I don't know, I was really drunk the night before and I just didn't make it. And I've been messing up at work a lot already. And so came into work on Thursday, and my uncle and his business partner, they sat me down in the boardroom and they said, listen, like, you gotta do these things or we're gonna have to fire you, right? And they were like, show up on time. You know, work, right? They weren't like crazy things. The expectations were not high. But the other thing that happened is Hans told me, like, hey, man, you seem like you need to get away. Why don't you come with me to Vermont this weekend? We got to dig a trench around my house. And at this point, like, I've been doing some other stuff. And so I was very, very skinny and malnourished. And I went up to help him and, like, we're having to move like rocks and wheelbarrows and shit, and like there was not, and it's hilly. It's not like Florida, you know. And so that was kind of crazy. But I did it. I went up there, and on the way back, he 12-stepped me. Right, he didn't sit there and tell me I'm an alcoholic, and if I drink again, you know, or if I don't go to AA, I'm gonna drink again. He told me what it was like. Right, he told me how he, you know, couldn't stop drinking. And you know, he lost his family and he was living in a park, you know, and he told me that, you know, what happened. He told me he made it to Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Maybe you guys got a sponsor and did the 12 steps, right? And he got a home group and he did service and his life changed, right? And then he told me what it was like today, but I got to see it, right? I mean, I worked with the guy for a year and a half and I saw, right? You know, he had a beautiful family and a nice house and a successful business and a Porsche 911, right? That was pretty cool, you know? And so I saw it, right? And so that was my sobriety date that Sunday when we were coming back. And that Monday, I went to my first AA meeting, and first meeting back, I guess. And I picked up a white chip. Well, actually, I didn't. In New Jersey, they don't do any of that white chip shit, right? They're 90 days and years are multiple. vehicles. That's it. And but what they do is they ask you, like, they go around, anybody under 90 days, tell us how many days you have and how you're doing today. It got to me and said, I got one day, I fucked it all up again, and the guy yelled at me for cussing, and I didn't go back to that meeting ever again. But I went to a lot of other meetings, right? And the next meeting I went to was Thursday, and I basically ended up telling Hans everything I'd been doing, right? All the drugs and the drinking and the you know, crazy shit, and how I stole, you know, my uncle's dog's Valium and all kinds of stuff, you know? And I got put, you know, I ended up having to tell my uncle everything I've been doing. And so he kicked me out. And, you know, this was like 10 days after I got sober. And I called my mom. She lived down here, kind of. She lives in Spring Hill, which is much further away than Tampa. But, I called her and I came down here. And on the way down here, I told her, like, hey, I got to go to an AA meeting as soon as I get there. And she said, well, there's this place around the corner. It's called the Meeting Place. You know, it's a Land O'Lakes. They're a little old and country. I don't know if you'll like it. And I ended up going there, right? And, like, it was my home group the first 6 months I was here, right? Those people helped me so much, you know? And my experience is that if I go to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, right, like, you could be all kinds of whatever, and I'm going to relate, you know? You couldn't stop drinking. You came to AA. You did the stuff, and now you don't drink anymore. I get that. Right, the way you drank, I get that. I don't care anything about you other than that. I relate to, you know. And I'll tell you what's funny, I've actually gone to meetings now in, like, Iceland and Israel, and both of them I was, like, expecting something different, you know. It's not. It's the same. Right? It's just AA, you know. AA is, it's been working, and they don't seem to want to change it, which is pretty cool. And so I stayed sober, right? I got down here, I got a sponsor the first night. It was the youngest person in that old country meeting. And, I worked the steps, and my life started to change, right? And my sponsor didn't just take me to the steps, right? He introduced me to people, right? I met Glenn and Mark, and they brought me here to YPG, and then YPG became my home group. And, you know, I got to see a lot of cool things, man, right? I got to see this group grow, right? You have no idea. This group was very small, and I complained to my sponsor for years that I wanted to leave, and thank God I did, right? This group is thriving and electric, as Kevin would say right now. It's awesome, you know? And that's really cool to see, you know? And I tell you what, right? Like, my life has gotten really great. You know, there's been some bad shit, a lot of firings, right, from jobs that happen a lot, but it's great, man. You know, I do have a wife now and a house, you know, and, you know, I've got all kinds of stuff, but really, man, like, the only thing that AA promises, in my experience, is that I don't have to drink ever again, right, which is awesome. You know, I couldn't stop drinking, I was really miserable, and, the only other thing is that I'm going to have a host of friends, right? And I'll tell you what, man, like, the amount of best friends I have, right? Like, I go scuba diving with my best friend, but, like, it's just crazy, you know? Like, I got married not, you know, a couple years ago, and my wife is normal, you know, and she was, like, having trouble. She, like, asked six people to be her bridesmaids, and two of them bailed, you know, and I've got nine, and I'm like, hey, can I add, like, three more, you know, just because I've got that many best friends, right, like, you know, and that's crazy, right, and, you know, it's been crazy, you know, and recently I've had some weird job stuff going on, and I'm not going to stand up here, I think this is important to say, right, because I think it doesn't get said enough, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that, like, I feel like God's got me, right, because I don't. Right, I've never had that feeling of, like, I'm going to be taken care of. What I do have, though, is many bad times in my life, right? I've been, like I said, a lot of bad job stuff. And every time my experience has shown me that whatever it is, right, bad job stuff, horrible relationship, right, death in the family, you know, I found a roommate dead a while ago, and right, any of that stuff, like, my experience shows that God's got me, right? My experience shows that given time, if I keep doing AA, right, if I keep coming here, everything just kind of works itself out, right? And everything gets good again. And so, you know, but yeah, congratulations, Lloyd. Congratulations, Blair. Thank you, Rachel, for speaking, right? Lloyd's awesome. He's the Tampa guy. So thank you.